Well, it was the day after Christmas at a downtown church in San Francisco. The pastor was out front looking over the manger scene set up on the front lawn when he noticed that the Christ child figure was missing. Right on cue, he turned to see a little boy with a red wagon coming down the street, and in the wagon was the figure of the infant Jesus. So the pastor walked up to the boy and asked, "Well, young man, where did you pick up your passenger?" "I got him here from the church." "And why did you take him?" The little boy replied, "Well, about a week before Christmas, I prayed to the little Lord Jesus, and I told him that if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block." Well, it is still the Christmas season. We're in the octave of Christmas. Christmas and Easter are feast days that are so great that they cannot be contained in a 24-hour period. And so the church celebrates the octave, 8 days of celebration of the great feast days. And today is January 1st. We're within the octave of Christmas, and it's a really beautiful feast day. It is, of course, New Year's Day. It's the World Day of Prayer for Peace and the feast day of the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Our Blessed Mother has over 2,000 titles, and yet her greatest title is Mother of God. In Greek, it's Theotokos, which means the God-bearer. And this ancient title of our Blessed Mother is found in sacred scripture, was officially defined at the Council of Ephesus in the year 431, and it was defined because there was a heresy by a bishop named Nestorius, and he mistakenly said that Jesus was two persons, a human person and a divine person. Therefore, he said you can call Mary the mother of Jesus or the mother of Christ, but he said it was wrong to call Mary the mother of God because, mistakenly, he thought if Jesus was two persons, Mary only gave birth to the human person, not the divine person. So the church met in the Council of Ephesus, modern-day Turkey. All the bishops of the church gathered, and it was the shortest council in the history of the Catholic Church. Vatican II took 3 years. This one took 1 day, because it was simple. The bishops gathered, and they studied the topic, the issue, and officially defined the fact that Jesus is one person, a divine person who has a human nature and a divine nature. The human nature and divine nature of Christ are united hypostatically in the one person of Christ. Therefore, Jesus is one person, a divine person, the Son of God. And when a woman gives birth, she doesn't give birth to a nature, she gives birth to a person. And so the person that Mary gave birth to is truly Lord and truly God. It's very logical. If Jesus Christ is God, Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, we can call her the Mother of God, because her Son, Jesus Christ, is truly Lord and God. Isn't that what Thomas said when Jesus rose from the dead? He said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus didn't say, "No, Thomas, I'm not Lord and God." He says, "Blessed are you, Thomas, who believe this, but even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." The divinity of Christ is really at the heart of this title, Mary, the Mother of God. We see in Scripture in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So the baby that was born in Bethlehem was truly Lord and truly God. We see in that second reading from Paul to the Galatians, God sent his Son, born of a woman. We know that when Mary visited Elizabeth, what did she say? "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That title, Lord, is equivalent to God. She said, who am I really that the Mother of God should come to visit me? So Jesus truly is Lord and God, the second person of the Trinity. Yes, he is truly God and truly man. But his two natures are united in the one person of the Son of God. And therefore, the fathers and the bishops of the church declared Mary and called her Theotokos, the God-bearer. Now there is a beautiful prayer that we say that I think all of us know by heart. We just said it a few moments ago. The prayer called the Hail Mary. That beautiful prayer, the angelic salutation is the original name, the salutation of the angel Gabriel to our Blessed Mother. And this prayer contains a beautiful theological treatise of the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. Notice that it's divided into two parts. The first part is called the Hail Mary. The second part is called the Holy Mary. In the Hail Mary, we quote the angel Gabriel and her cousin Saint Elizabeth. The prayer begins, Hail Mary, full of grace. Those were the words spoken by the angel Gabriel to our Blessed Mother. The word hail is a title of respect and honor. And he called, we use the word Mary, which is her name in Hebrew, Miriam, which means an ocean. Mary was an ocean of grace. And the angel said, hail, full of grace. He called her Caceratomene, which means one who has been perfected by God's grace. It indicates the fact that Mary was without sin, that she was full of grace. She had no sin. And then he said, the Lord is with you. That's a declarative statement. Notice at Mass, we say, the Lord be with you. It's a prayer asking that the Lord be with you. But with Mary, it's a fact. The Lord was with her. And he says, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And this was said by the angel Gabriel as well as by Elizabeth. So imagine that. Out of all the billions of women, the Blessed Mother is the most blessed because only she would give birth to the Son of God. So she is most blessed among all women who ever lived and who will ever live. And also, blessed is the fruit of your womb. This is what Elizabeth said. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So in the Hail Mary, we honor Mary. We also honor Jesus, the fruit of her womb. And this reveals the humanity of Christ, that he truly was born of the Virgin, that he was the fruit of Mary's womb. And notice that it is blessed, that children are sacred, are blessed. The fruit of the womb is something so holy, so blessed, and so sacred. And then the early church added the word Jesus, the holiest of all names, to end the first part of the Hail Mary. The blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, it says, every knee shall bend on heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And lastly, the second part, the Holy Mary. We know that Mary is holy. The angel said she was full of grace. And then we say, Mother of God. And this defends the divinity of Christ. So the first part honors the humanity of Christ. The second part honors the divinity of Christ. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Theotokos, her Son truly is Lord and God. Pray for us sinners. We're asking Mary to pray for us. This is very biblical. The Bible says, pray for one another. And the prayer of a holy person is powerful indeed. So who was holier than our Blessed Mother? That's why we ask her to pray for us. We say, pray for us sinners. We admit that we're sinners. We admit that Christ is our Savior. We acknowledge that he's our Savior and that we need him to save us from our sins. Notice that saying, pray for us sinners, is like a little act of contrition. Just as in the Our Father, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That also contains an act of sorrow, an act of contrition. So we say, pray for us sinners. We're sorry for our sins. And then it concludes by saying, at two points in our life, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And really, when you think about it, that's the only times that we ever need God's grace and God's help is right now and at the hour of our death. Right now, the present moment, whatever we're going through today, give us this day our daily bread. Right now, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. We all pray for a holy, happy, and well-prepared death so that we can be accepted into the kingdom of God in heaven. And every time we pray that Hail Mary, especially in the Rosary, that's why the Rosary is so important on this World Day for Peace, to pray the Rosary every day for peace, because 50 times we say that prayer. Pray for us now at the hour of our death. Every Rosary is storing up for ourselves 50 prayers to help us at the moment of our death to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven.